Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. First off, I just want to publicly shout out a big thank you to everyone who came to the Joy of Giving donation drive. This year, we donated over 13 bags of clothes and shoes to the Downtown Women's Center and a ton of much-needed supplies to the animal services out in Ventura County. And I am so grateful that you all decided to go through your closets and go to stores and spend your hard-earned money to help those in need this holiday season. So thank you to every single person who donated to the drive this year. I so appreciate it, and I appreciate all of you. This week on the show, I have Kian Talon. You may know him from NCIS Hawaii, and we have a great chat, and it was so fun talking to Kian, and he just has such a bright future ahead of him and all of the great things that he wants to accomplish. So here's my conversation with Kian. And welcome to the show, Mr. Kian Talon.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Okay, first off, before we get started, you have a picture of a cow behind you, and it makes me so happy. I can't tell you how happy that makes me.
It's a bull.
It's a bull. Okay.
Yeah.
I love it.
Wayfair for $29.99.
Good old Wayfair. Well, yes. I love it. I think it's fantastic. So, well done on the home decor there.
Thank you. It's my second passion.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to have you on the show today. You're on the new NCIS Hawaii show on CBS, which is cool in itself, because do you get to actually film in Hawaii? Like, do you get to actually live there and like have a life in Hawaii?
Yeah, so I've been living there since June, but I'm in New York right now for the holidays, and then I fly back in a week, and then I'll be there until March, until we wrap. So yeah, Hawaii's like, oh, amazing.
That is so cool. So do you like go to the other islands when you're on break in between different episodes and stuff?
So I haven't, but that's definitely on my bucket list before we finish season one. I kind of just stay in Honolulu for the most part.
Wow. I mean, you're literally filming in paradise. I mean,
it's a different world. It's kind of crazy, especially from being the city.
Yeah.
It's so different, but in the best way possible.
Was that like a shell shock? I feel like that had to be a bit of a shell shock going from loud New York to just the silence of like the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah. It's different people, different vibes. But like, I really appreciate like the people in Hawaii, because they just have different priorities than people in the city. You know, it's less like work and more about relationships and family. So like being surrounded with that for a little bit has been like, I don't know, it really opened my eyes to like, what are my priorities, you know, where like New York City is just like hustle and bustle all the time.
Yeah. No sleep, all work, no play.
For sure.
That brings up an interesting point. I mean, I feel like I've thought about that actually a lot recently with the pandemic and lockdown, especially last year, what it's like to live a life that is a bit more grounded in just relationships and the essentials of living rather than all of the big aspirations and the work and everything that goes into being a filmmaker, an actor, anything like that in our industry. It just seems like I don't know that I could do it. I don't know that I could just be like on a farm or something and not have a crazy amount of workload all the time.
Yeah, I honestly can't do it either. I mean, it's definitely like when I'm in Hawaii, obviously I miss New York and I like, I kind of miss like rude people just like pushing me on the street, you know? That's just like, I'm just like a city boy for life, I think.
Yeah.
But I think there are moments that, you know, it's nice to take those breaks. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, it's sure. it's like a mini vacation and just being able to I mean, even when I go to New York sometimes it's like vacation for me because it's like I'm seeing my best friend and I'm just like hanging out with her family. And to me that's like vacation, but really it's still a city and crazy.
For sure. Where are you from, actually?
I'm in Los Angeles, but I'm from Portland, Oregon originally, but I live in LA, but I go to New York a lot because my best friend's out there. Yeah. Okay. Back to NCIS, since we're getting sidetracked. tell me a little bit about the audition process for that, because that had to have been pretty wild being such a large part of a massive franchise.
Yeah. So it's actually kind of funny because it wasn't, like, I've been in audition processes where it's, like, been, like, 3 months or more, you know? This was the fastest. It was really, like, hard to take in just because, like, I sent in a tape and then I went straight to a network test deal.
No.
Yeah, without a callback or, like, anything like that.
What?
Yeah. And then, like, 3 hours after the test deal, I got a call from my manager telling me I booked it. So it was like,
when does that happen?
Never. I don't know if it was COVID or I don't know, but I got lucky.
I mean, talk about like right place, right time, right everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very, very lucky. It's so funny because the entire time I didn't think I was going to get it because I just didn't think that I looked like my mom on the show.
Yeah.
So I was like, eh, I'm not going to get it, but it's all right. It's a great experience. Cause it was my first network test deal. So like I was excited just for that, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was bizarre to even like look back now and see how I got the role.
Yeah. And I mean, that is a wild like whirlwind almost. I mean, I can't even get over how crazy that is.
Yeah, I know.
So, tell the listeners a little bit about what it's like when you enter a network testing room, because it is a lot different than being in a room with just the casting directors and the producers. I mean, that room is usually filled to the brims.
So I think it worked out in my favor because everything was virtual. And
oh, it was during COVID.
Yeah, it was. It was in June. And I think what people don't know about network test deals is that they are so stressful because you basically get the contract before you audition. So you like, they're basically like, here's everything that's going to change your life, but you don't know if you booked it. You know? And I was like, all right, no pressure. It's fine. So that's like the worst part of it. And then also they basically have like a week period where you can't do anything. Like, you can't audition, you can't say yes to any other thing, and because they have you on hold. So yeah, that's like the, I'd say the craziest part about test deal.
I mean, it is pretty wild. I've done a couple test deals before, and it's pretty crazy that it's like you sign essentially your life away for like, you don't know how many years, because you don't know how long the show will be on if it gets picked up, and you're signing it away, but you still don't know if you're actually going to be able to do it.
And also, like, the chances of you booking the job are like zero, you know, like there's that, it's luck. It's not luck, it's skill, but there's also luck has to play in this industry, of course. So yeah, you're like, I'm like, you see all the perks, and then they say no. Like, if they said no to me after I signed that contract, I think I would have gone into a hole and just buried myself.
From personal experience, I can tell you it is literally just a week in bed under the covers with only ice cream and mac and cheese and probably some good shows. Like, there's probably some Friends going on and Grey's Anatomy so I can cry, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, that happens to me for callbacks. So, like, I couldn't imagine how much more after a test deal.
Well, let's go back to the beginning, to your beginning, and talk about what made you want to be an actor. Like, what was that moment in your life when you were like, oh man, I'd like to torture myself for a long time and become an entertainer?
Yeah. So I actually got my degree in computer science.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was working a tech job, just like a 9-to-5 tech job in New York City. And then I was like, I don't know, I just felt like I wasn't passionate about anything. And I also just like was scared to like even like talk in public. Like, I was very reserved and like shy. I know, I was like a little baby. But one of my friends was an actor, and I took a summer class with him, and then I signed up for the 2-year conservatory at William Esper in New York, and I just like, I don't know, I fell in love with it. I felt like I found like this voice that I didn't even know I had, and it just, it felt so good. I remember my first time like getting emotional, because I don't even get emotional with like my family or like friends. But I got so emotional in this one class, and it's a feeling I'll like never forget. And like, it felt like I was being truthful for like the first time in my life. So ever since then, I kind of just fell in love with the craft of acting and kept going.
That brings up a very good point, which is classes really can do that for you. Like, I know that, you know, we all get busy, especially when we're working, but it's so nice to be able to return to a class and continue working that muscle and that craft, because you never know when you have, when you're going to have that moment of like complete clarity within a scene. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, it's like, I don't know, it's so hard to explain it to people who aren't actors, but it's like, it's like this. It's like you're seeing an open sky for the first time.
Mm-hmm. I've actually been in the class the entire time shooting NCIS Hawaii.
Smart.
Yeah, on Mondays. And sometimes I don't do well, to be honest, because I'm just not prepared for class. But like, I get more out of listening and watching. Mm-hmm. That just like inspires new thoughts in my head. And I just love being in that environment.
Yeah, well, and I mean, it also brings up, like, you know, on set, it's going to be a lot of people always telling you you're doing great, which obviously we all love praise. Hello, we're entertainers. But it's nice. It's nice to have the person be like, no, that was wrong. You did it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Go think about what you did and come back with something better. Like, you need that.
Yes, yes. I mean, the class that I take, my teacher, Diana Castle, she grounds me like no other.
Yeah.
I'll be on set one day and I'll be like, oh, this is amazing, I'm living my dream. And then I go to class and she's like, what are you doing? Like, are you even putting any effort? And I'm like, you're right. I'm not.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Well, now that you've told me about, you know, how you got into acting, what was the first job that you booked going into this side of your career?
So I did a lot of short films and a couple feature films. I love working on independent projects. It's like one of my favorite things to do, and I hope to return in the future. But I think one of the first jobs I booked was a co-star for a Netflix show.
Okay.
And it was like a educational kids show.
Heck yes.
Which was so much fun. Like, I had a blast. But that was my first time on like a big budget set.
Wow. It was, okay, you have to break this down for me. An educational kids show. Like, was Big Bird walking around? Like, what was happening?
It was like a modern, it was produced by Pharrell, which was kind of
dang.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, that was awesome. But it's just like every episode is a new topic. So like, I was in the episode where the topic was dreams. And the lead character dreams about these like five guys. And I played one of the guys.
Now, wouldn't it have been so funny if the episode that you did ended up being about, like, computer science?
Oh, I'd be down.
You'd be like, I got this. Everyone else can go home. Exactly. They know what I'm doing.
For real. I would have loved that.
And you mentioned you worked on a lot of shorts, and I love working on shorts, even now. I mean, it's funny, the connections that I make through short films provide, I don't know, for me at least, have been longer term relationships than most of the feature films I've worked on.
Yep. People hate on shorts, and I don't know why. And it's the most satisfying, I think, experience is working on shorts. And because you get to, and you never know where they're going to go, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I did a short that was an NYU short, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not paid. Like, but it ended up going to Tribeca and HBO Max.
See?
So, like, you just never know. And you just get to work with, like, usually it's, you know, young creatives who are, like, you know, trying to pursue a career in this industry. Mm-hmm. And just being around people who kind of relate to, like, the struggle and, like, the art is just, like, so good for the soul, you know?
Well, yeah. And it's just, I feel like when you're working on short films, there's just a larger bond almost because mm-hmm. it is... You kind of are in the trenches and you're like, what are we all doing? And you're questioning things, but it's always fun. And I don't know. I just feel like the relationships that I've made from short films, most of them have lasted longer than any feature films that I've ever been a part of.
Same. And which honestly,
is weird.
Yeah, but like you don't do shorts for the money.
No, you do it for the fun.
You do it because you love to do it. That, yeah. And when you're surrounded with all these people that love to do it, it's like impossible to, you know, create those bonds with those types of people.
Yeah. I mean, I did a short in, when was it, 20, it was before lockdown, so 2019, about a family who adopts a Cabbage Patch kid and they think it's real.
Nice.
And Creed Bratton from The Office played my dad, and he was like doing the Cabbage Patch voice as well for like the son, and I was the daughter who was like, what is this? Why is this happening to me? But you're not going to make a feature film about that. But short film, like, oh my God, how fun.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I love that. And honestly, I would totally watch a feature of that, to be honest.
But only with Creed, because he's funny. So tell me a little bit about the Filipino American Charity Trust. I read that you work with them, so I'd love for you to educate our listeners about what they do and your involvement in the Filipino community.
Yeah, so I've been part of the organization ever since I was like a kid because my mom was a member. And I grew up in New Hampshire, and this organization's like in the East Coast, like New Hampshire, Massachusetts area.
Mm.
And I grew up in like a suburban town with like no Asian people at all. So like having this in my life, like kind of saved me, to be honest, because I like had like this identity crisis of like, who am I? And being surrounded with this organization, and what they do is they just bring people together, bring Filipino people together. They also do like charity stuff for people back home. They do a lot of events. So having them in my life was the only time I really felt like I saw people who were like me, which definitely influenced, you know, how I grew up, and very grateful.
Aww. I mean, that has to play a big part too in your career, right? I mean, being able to be that person for the Filipino kid in New Hampshire growing up and him seeing you or she seeing you on screen, I mean, it's big, and it's a very needed change that we needed. But I mean, it's got to be cool to feel like you're a part of that.
100%. I mean, I've never seen a Filipino family on, you know, network television ever.
Yeah.
So the fact that I get to be a part of this, like, growing process is pretty awesome. And also, Alex was the first Filipino character that I've ever auditioned for.
No way.
Yeah. I usually go out for Korean, Chinese. I've even gone out for Latino roles.
Stop it.
No, I swear. I mean, you know, your reps push you just to be seen by casting. But like, right. If there's, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And that's what I was doing for a very long time. So I think everything happens for a reason. And it was for me to, you know, get the opportunity to audition for this role and then book it. I don't know. It's crazy how the world works.
Truly. I can't get over this was the first Filipino role that you auditioned for.
Yeah. Well, I've done like shorts.
Right.
For like, but this is the first like
network big thing. Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, it's crazy. And then to actually book it and go live in Hawaii.
Yeah.
To be in it.
And Hawaii is like majority Filipino. It's like all Filipinos. It's crazy.
Wow. That's so cool. God, I love that. I mean, obviously that kind of answers my next question, which was going to be, how is this NCIS different than the other ones that we've seen?
Yeah.
But I mean, how do you feel that this show is kind of, because it's hard to be in a franchise that's so big. Like, it's like the Law and Orders too, right? Like, there's so many of them, you just don't know what's happening. But this one is obviously incredibly different. But how do you feel audiences like will react to how different it is from the other ones?
You know, I'm going to be straight up and tell you that old fans who have been fans of NCIS forever, some of them are probably not going to like our show. It's just because it's so different, I think, from the original, because I mean, you have the first female lead of this franchise. You have so many diverse actors. You have LGBT agents on the show. And so like, it's just, I love it because it how do you show a modern world without telling these stories, you know?
Right.
And so
well, I
like,
mean, it, like you said, it's modern, it's inclusive. It's actually representative of real life.
Exactly. But, you know, other NCIS shows are not as progressive, I think, in terms. So I'm proud to be a part of the show because, like, the stories that I get to be a part of, we have an episode coming out that talks highly on, you know, being Filipino-American family and also dealing with racism. And the fact that I get to tell that story is just, like, such a dream. But yeah, I mean, I don't, it's going to be some people's cup of tea and some people's not, but I'm really proud that the show is taking steps to, you know, tell these unrepresented stories.
Yeah. Well, on this show, we like to share audition stories, and I know you've shared your NCIS story, but are there any stories that you would like to share with our listeners?
The amount of times I've cried after honestly, I mean, I've been so close to jobs that, and like projects that I would love to work with that director or love to tell that story. And it's just the name of the game, you know, it's most likely a no. And so they're actually during the NCIS process, I had two other callbacks for two projects that I loved. And both were a no. But there was one. It was for I Know What You Did Last Summer on Amazon.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. This was like right when like auditioning started coming back in January. And the entire everything was virtual, so I had callbacks, I had producer sessions, and my computer just wouldn't work.
No.
And so they were like, we can't hear you. And so I had to do it like six times and they still couldn't hear me. And I was like,
oh my God.
Yeah. It was the worst.
That's so sad too, because it's like completely out of your control. Like,
yeah. And once,
what are you gonna do? Go to the Apple store and like say, "Excuse me, can I just do an audition in the corner really quick?"
I know. And it, once you get like that feedback of like they're stressing out, it makes you stress out, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, obviously didn't get that, but if I did get that, I probably wouldn't have got NCIS Hawaii. So.
So there you go. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, and they actually shot in Hawaii too.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
What is up with you in Hawaii? Like, does Hawaii just want you to move there, or what's going on?
I guess so.
Well, I'd love to know what you, because, you know, this is a fairly new career path for you.
For sure.
I want to know what it is that you see yourself doing in the long run. Like, what kind of films or TV shows appeal to you most? Do you want to get behind the camera at some point? What are your aspirations?
I mean, I definitely want to get back to telling more independent, you know, stories and films. I just love like the freedom of, you know, feature films and like short films and stuff like that, where you get to really just experiment.
Yeah.
And also, like, I definitely see myself in the future getting more behind the camera in terms of maybe producing or writing, and just bringing more Filipino stories, you know, to the mainstream media, because you got to stop thinking that someone else will do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you got to just do it yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. And now we live in this incredible time where we can make our own stories and we can get them out there and we can find our own distribution. We don't have to wait around for other people to decide that we're good enough, where we fit their mold, or we are the person from the writer's dreams. Like, we can do what we want to do now, which is so exciting.
For sure. And honestly, like, writing in general just helps you become a better actor anyways.
Yeah. Because,
yeah, I mean, yeah, I suggest all actors to try to write their own stuff, because it makes you read text better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I was always told as a kid to read a bunch of books. Always read books.
For sure.
So you're learning how to create characters in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Where can people find you on social media to keep up with everything that you're doing?
You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, but don't really post on TikTok, but you can follow me anyways. Jane Talon.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was such a pleasure talking to you, and I can't wait to see all the stuff that you do in the future.
Oh, same for you. Same for you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you again to Kian for coming on the show. He is just so funny, and oh man, I just had a great time talking to him. So I'm super excited to see where his career goes. Tune in next week for the final episode of Thanks for Coming In this year with the wonderful Miss Crystal Lee Brown. We have a great talk about making films that are based on true stories and inspiring people, and she's incredible. So tune in next week. Until then, make sure to follow us on social media. Those links are in the show notes. We post really cute video clips. And hey, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, now would be a great time to do that. You can also rate and review and leave us some stars and some love, because that really helps. And I know you're so sick of hearing podcast people say that, but like, it does. So please do so. And until then, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before, because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.